This passage from Mark's gospel continues a wild journey of Jesus and his disciples as they crisscross their way through the region known as the Galilee. Last week, we heard the story of Jesus and the disciples as they set out on the lake, and suddenly this storm kicks up, and the disciples are overcome with fear for their lives, so much so that they go and wake up Jesus, who calms the storm. In today's reading, Jesus and his disciples are again on the move across the Lake of Galilee. And upon reaching the other side, we hear that Jesus is confronted with this huge spiritual need in the community. This reading is, in fact, a story within a story. Two stories of healing and restoration, which the gospel writer intentionally puts together to convey something about who Jesus is, and who God is, and what life in God's kingdom looks like. This story, along with the story of Jesus calming the storm, reveal to us a very real spiritual truth that we live with each and every day, that life happens. You know that phrase, life happens? Usually, it's used something like this: you know, I really meant to do X, Y, or Z today, but you know, life happens. If Jesus and his disciples were anything like me, and maybe like you, they probably landed on that lake shore with a plan, an agenda for their day. Travel across the lake, check. Get checked into our Airbnb, check. Get some lunch. No one likes a hangry traveler. You know, hangry, so hungry that you're angry. Go for a walk around the neighborhood, check, get a feel for the village, and then find a place to eat dinner, check. And yet, in this story, we see that life happens, that real human, communal, spiritual need trumps all of our best plans, or our agendas, or the vision that we might have for our day. John Lennon once said, "Life is what happens to you while you are busy making other plans." We see Jesus, the one who we follow, when confronted by a desperate father asking for his help, he goes. He goes. He abandons all of his other plans for the day just to be there with him in whatever way he can. It's an act of compassion. It's an act of grace. Now, how many of us are so tied to our agendas that we miss an opportunity to embody that compassion for another? That's the thing about life, the struggles that we have, the suffering that we go through. It doesn't come at a convenient time for us. It doesn't follow our schedule. It comes when it comes. It happens to us and all of those around us. And like Jesus, when we experience it in the face of another, sometimes you just have to go. You just have to abandon everything else for the day and just be there however you can. Now, it's on his way to Jairus' house that we see yet again another moment where life happens. A woman who has been hemorrhaging for 12 years, she reaches out to touch Jesus. And in doing so, he stops almost probably mid-stride to look around to see who it is who had touched him. And the woman emerges from the crowd and she falls down at his feet with awe and with trembling. And he says to her, he says, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Now, some of the true power of this story is lost on us as we have this tendency to focus in on the supernatural part of these healing stories. We hone in on this one aspect, and it leads us usually to ask deep and difficult questions, and we sometimes end up just writing them off as myth or legend. But I think it's crucial when we read this story to do the hard work of putting it into context and drawing forth from the text itself the meaning that it presents to us. Now, one thing that you may or may not know about the world that Jesus lived in is that there were some pretty strict purity laws that many religious people tried to follow. Now, these laws were in place for both physical as well as spiritual well-being. And if someone was ill or sick, they were completely isolated from their community in order not to infect others physically or spiritually. Now, if someone suffered from a chronic illness or disease, over time they became more and more marginalized, alienated from human contact. Now, in some ways, this hasn't really changed all that much. I'm reminded by our brothers and sisters who have physical impairments that more often than not, they are placed on the margins and isolated from the life of our communities. So when this woman reaches out to touch Jesus, she is acting with spiritual courage and a boldness that it is almost hard to even imagine. She's claiming for herself a moment of connection with this man, a relationship to a person of power and authority that normally would have been beyond her reach. Jesus, noticing that he has been touched, he stops to ask, "Who touched him?" And when she presents herself in this act of humble submission, she's filled with awe and with wonder. His response is to call her daughter. What a tremendous act of empowering compassion Jesus shows this woman. He addresses her with a title that had been stripped from her years ago, daughter of God, beloved child of the Most High. Had we been there, had we seen this in person, it would have been shocking and scandalous. Because in that moment, Jesus offers her saving grace that restores her fully into right relationship with God and with her community. By simply calling her daughter, he is offering her a spiritual truth that has the power to impart peace and holy restoration into her brokenness, a truth that can draw her into the fullness of life. She goes from being an outcast to being in holy relationship with Jesus. She goes from being abandoned to being a beloved daughter of the Most High God. He shows us a different kind of healing, the healing that restores us into relationship with God and one another. See, there's a problem for us. And the problem is this: we often equate healing with curing. We think that being cured is the same thing as being healed, but Jesus points to so much more than that. People can be cured of all sorts of physical ailments and still carry within them a deep spiritual woundedness, a woundedness that infects their entire being. Or there are people who never experience being cured from an illness physically, but they are bathed in grace and peace, and the healing presence of God's life-giving love, it flows from them even in the midst of their pain and their suffering. Author Rachel Held Evans points to this difference in her book, Searching for Sunday, as she writes, "There's a difference between curing and healing, and I believe that the church is called to the slow, difficult work of healing. We are called to enter into one another's pain, to anoint it as holy, and to stick around no matter the outcome. The thing about healing, as opposed to curing, is that it's relational. It takes time. It's inefficient, like a meandering river. Rarely does healing follow a straight or well-lit path. Rarely does it conform to our expectations or resolve in a timely manner. And the truth is, the church doesn't offer a cure. It doesn't offer a quick fix. The church offers death and resurrection. The church offers the messy, inconvenient, gut-wrenching, never-ending work of healing and reconciliation. The church offers grace. Like many of you, my heart broke as I heard the news of the shooting at Emmanuel AME. The reports came in, and I felt overwhelmed with a sense of hopelessness as we saw again the terrible evil of racism and violence that has infected our society. My heart went out to that community, to those families, our brothers and sisters in Christ. It seemed like it wasn't even 24 hours later when I heard the first statements being released by the families. And what we heard, was a word of grace. The family shared that they were seeking forgiveness for the murderer. They were seeking love in the face of hate and healing in the midst of pain. They were extending grace, the grace that knows what it's like when the psalmist says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, my Lord. Be attentive to my cry for mercy." These beautiful, faithful brothers and sisters were offering costly grace. The grace that knows Jesus Christ crucified. This last week, they gathered for their first funeral services, those to be held at Emmanuel. And at the funeral of Ethel Lance, her grandson spoke, and he said, "My grandmother was so close to God that she knew only love. Her legacy, their legacy, is one of love." That is a powerful witness to us and to our world, that the church should be about healing. This gut-wrenching, never-ending work, that's our business. That we follow in the way of the one who enters into the suffering of others to bear that pain alongside them and bring them into healing and restoration. What a witness that the church should be about the love of Jesus, the compassion that he extends to everyone, that no one is beyond the reach of his loving embrace. Jesus offers grace to all. And when I say all, I mean all. Every single human person on this earth, regardless of who they are, where they come from, who they love. We follow in the way of Christ, the one who calls us all daughters and sons of God. And so, my brothers and my sisters, we are called to live with hope. We are called to live in faith. And we are called to abide in love. And always, always remember that the greatest of these is love. Thanks be to God. Amen.